The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to read from the book of Job, chapter 42 this morning, the last chapter in the book of Job, the first six verses. Listen to what is recorded there in Job chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Let me give you a statement here, and I want you to think about this. Here's the statement. There are two things that every believer is brought to acknowledge by experience. You hear what I say? There are two things that every believer is brought to acknowledge by experience. But before I give you those two things, let's think about this for a minute. The book of Job deals with many complex issues and complex questions. Think about this. Let me give you a few. Why would the holy God suffer the unholy Satan into his presence? That's one. Well, why would the holy God suffer the unholy Satan into his presence? Here's a second thought. Why did God bring up Job to Satan, having protected Job from Satan up to that point, and then turn all of Job's substance over to the whims of Satan? Why? Why? Here's a third thought. God suffered Satan to enact by human and natural elements of instrumentality. God suffered Satan to enact theft, death by terrorism, death by loss, natural disaster, even the death of Job's children. Think about those three things. God suffering the unholy Satan into his holy presence. God bringing up the subject of Job after having protected Job all that time. And God's turning Job's substance over to the whims of Satan. And then God suffering Satan to enact all of those horrendous things that Satan enacted upon Job. And that's just chapter one. That's just chapter one. Now, we see then that Job gets at least for a little space a breather. He gets a breather. And God then, rather than reinstituting his hedge about Job to protect Job from Satan, God again brings up Job to Satan. And Job is smitten with body covering boils. And then Job's wife even turns on Job. That's just chapter two. That's two chapters out of 42. Now, give ear to what I'm about to say. Give ear to what I'm about to say. First of all, nowhere in this book is there even a hint that God was in any way subject to or bound by Satan or man's will, nor Satan or man's rebellion. As a matter of fact, according to the teaching of the book of Job, it is exactly opposite. God is not bound by Satan. God's not even himself in a war with Satan. Satan is under God Almighty's sovereign control. Anything suggesting anything less than God Almighty's absolute sovereignty is to lie on God. Here's a second thing. God's turning of Job's captivity, mentioned in the last part of chapter 42. I didn't read that part, but that God's turning of Job's captivity, mentioned in the last part of chapter 42, and Job's double portion from God, that was not the goal of all the calamity. It was a comfort to him, there is no doubt. It says so in chapter 42, verse 11. But that wasn't the goal. Now, it wasn't the goal. Now, let's be honest. Let's be honest. As a parent, everyone out there that's hearing my voice this morning, as a parent, who among you would have God suffer Satan to kill one of your children so that you could have two more? How many of you are willing to do that? How many of you have the desire to do that? That God Almighty would suffer Satan to kill one of your children so that you could just have two more. So do not come about with this thing of the whole goal was so that Job could have a double portion. That's nothing more than the flesh of this world. That's nothing more than this modernistic, self-serving society that we live in. Yes, God did give him a double portion, but that wasn't the goal. Now, again, my title. Think about this thought. There are two things that every believer is brought to acknowledge by experience. And let me give you those two things, and then we'll look at them for just a few moments in detail. Here's number one. God is absolutely sovereign in and over all things. God Almighty absolutely determines and controls everything that happens in his universe. God is absolutely sovereign in all things. And that is the truth taught by the book of Job. Here's number two. Here's the second thing that every believer is brought to acknowledge by experience. Number one, God's absolutely sovereign in all things. Here's number two. I hate myself, and I repent of not doing so at any time before. That's the lessons of Job. That's the whole goal of everything that this faithful servant Job was suffered by God to go through, was these two things, that Job might be brought to acknowledge by experience that God is absolutely sovereign in all things. And because of that, I see this, I hate myself, and I repent of not doing so at any time before. Note what Job acknowledges in our text. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Do you hear those words? I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Job, here in verse 5 of chapter 42, Job is not speaking of some physical glimpse of God directly, but Job is speaking of his experiencing the absolute sovereignty of God firsthand, as distinguished from his having heard it before from others. Do you see that? It's quite clear when you read the book of Job. You see that God Almighty brought Job down. He brought Job into great sorrow and great trouble. Who wants to go through what Job went through? Yet who was the one that determined what Job would go through? God Almighty did. The very one that Job, when he cried out, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, I want to give you four things about this. That is, that the whole purpose of what Job went through was to bring Job to acknowledge by experience these two things, that God Almighty is absolutely sovereign in all things, and therefore, because of that, I hate myself, and I repent of not doing so at any time before. Here's the first thing I want to give you. Four things about this morning. Believing the sovereign God as he is declared in the gospel of Christ is the first manifestation of saving faith. And I want to read a few passages from Job And let me turn to it. Let me turn to Job chapter 1, and we'll go through several passages here. Listen to what Job says in Job chapter 1 and verse 20 through 22. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And what did he do? And worshiped. Do you see it? And worshiped. Even after this great calamity that Job had went through, it says he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And he said these words, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. Do you see that? The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. He didn't say Satan took away. He didn't say those terrorists who came in, they didn't take away. He didn't say the whirlwind took away. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So you see that? That's what I said? Believing the sovereign God, as he is declared in the gospel of Christ and in the scriptures, is the first manifestation of saving faith. Listen to what Job said then in chapter 2, when the second group of calamity came upon Job. Job chapter 2, and listen to verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Do you hear what he says? He says it's all under God's sovereign control. In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? Oh, do you hear that? Again, I say, believing the sovereign God, as he is declared in the gospel of Christ, as he is revealed in his word, is the first manifestation of saving faith. Listen to Job chapter 13. Here's another one. I'll just read one verse from Job chapter 13. Listen to what Job chapter 13 verse 15 says. Though he slay me, this is Job talking about God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do you see it? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And yet there are those in this world today, when they hear about the absolute sovereignty of God, they say, that's not fair. That's not right. Let me tell you, if God gave us fairness, we would all perish under his wrath and judgment in the lake of fire. You best be glad that God is not being fair with you if he shows you mercy in Christ, because God's fairness would send us all to the lake of fire. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust him. Now, listen to chapter 19, and listen to what Job says again. Chapter 19 and verse 25, he says these words, 19 and 25, for I know that my Redeemer, do you see it? Job knew he needed a Redeemer. He'd heard this. He'd received this. He believed this. And as I said, believing the sovereign God, as he is declared in the gospel and in his scripture, believing the sovereign God is the first manifestation of saving faith. And he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Do you see that? We hear this from others. God is pleased to send this truth to us from others. They preach unto us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ and God's free, reigning, sovereign salvation that's through Jesus Christ. And by a work of grace, we hear these things and we believe these things. We acknowledge these things and we bow down before these things in faith and love toward God for who he really is. But here's the second thing. Here's the second thing. Believing the sovereign God, as his sovereignty is experienced in your everyday life, is the ongoing manifestation that your saving faith is the result of saving grace. Now, did you hear what I just said? Now, let me say it again. Believing the sovereign God as his sovereignty is experienced in your everyday life is the ongoing manifestation that your saving faith is the result of saving grace. And why do I say that? I say that because of Job chapter 42. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. And Job believed it. He worshiped God despite his circumstances. Yea, even in light of his circumstances, Job believed in the sovereign God. And he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So again, I want to emphasize that believing the sovereign God as his sovereignty is experienced in your everyday life, that is the ongoing manifestation that your saving faith is the result of saving grace. If somewhere in your life some calamity befalls you, no matter what you profess to believe concerning God, no matter how strongly you profess to believe in God, if somewhere in your life some calamity falls upon you, here's the fact: that calamity came because God Almighty ordained it and suffered it to come. Now, if that calamity drives you away from God in hatred and anger for him and his truth, then the faith you claim to have is not a faith given by the result of saving grace. Because every person who has been saved by the grace of God, that person, no matter what calamities, no matter what circumstances come their way, that person still bows before God and his sovereignty. Now, here's the third thing. A saving faith that is the result of saving grace, they always are accompanied by self-abhorrence, especially as they enable us to acknowledge by experience God's absolute sovereignty. What did he say? Let's read it one more time. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. And he says, then in verse 5, this is his conclusion, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore? You see that? Wherefore? And what did he say? Wherefore I'm angry. Wherefore I must cry that this can't be God. Because of this, this is too much. No, what does he say? Wherefore I abhor myself. Do you see it? Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Oh, for the kind of faith. Oh, for the kind of faith that comes by free sovereign grace that bows us to worship before God and to abhor ourselves and to repent concerning ourselves. Oh, for that kind of faith. So, again, let me emphasize this again. Two things. There are two things that every believer is brought to experience. Brought to experience. Here's the two things. God is absolutely sovereign in all things. That's number one. God's absolutely sovereign in all things. If you hate that, then you don't have saving faith. Because God is absolutely sovereign in all things. And faith bows you in love and willingness before that very God. So, number one, God is absolutely sovereign in all things. But number two, here's the second thing that every believer is brought to acknowledge by experience. I hate myself, and I repent for not doing so before at any time. So we see that believing the sovereign God, as he is declared in God's gospel, as he is declared in the scripture, is the first manifestation of saving faith. But not only that, believing the sovereign God, as his sovereignty is experienced in your everyday life, that is the ongoing manifestation that your saving faith is the result of saving grace. If you don't have those two things, you don't have saving faith. Number three, a saving faith that is the result of saving grace. These two things are always accompanied by this self-abhorrence, especially as these things enable us to acknowledge by experience, God's absolute sovereignty. I've heard of you, Lord. Lord, I've heard of you by the hearing in my ear, and I believe you. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Lord, I know that you live. You're my redeemer. I know that you live. I've heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now, even after all that I've went through, and especially in light of all that I've went through, but now mine eye seeth thee. And what's the result of that? Wherefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. In summary of that, for my little bit of time remaining, I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And I want to give you the New Testament equivalent of what I've been saying about the book of Job. And let me turn there. Philippians chapter 3. And here is a New Testament gospel equivalent to this very thing that I am expressing to you this morning in this message. That is these two things. That every believer is brought by experience to acknowledge this, the absolute sovereignty of God in all things, and to abhor myself, to repent in dust and ashes, to repent of ever not doing so before. And listen to this New Testament gospel equivalent. Philippians chapter 3. Listen to what Paul says. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you. Do you see it? To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. You see, this message of who God is, what God is doing sovereignly, graciously, compassionately, but yet sovereignly through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same old message over and over, and it's not grievous. It's not grievous to those who preach it. It's not grievous to those who really love it and believe it. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Why? Because they're out there. They attempt, they try, and they succeed concerning the reprobate. No doubt about it. They draw men away from the truth of God. They preach a God that's not God indeed, as well as God in name. It says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Why? Because they lie about God. They seek to draw your soul away from the truth. If you're drawn away from the truth, or if you're never drawn into the truth, you will perish justly and righteously under the wrath of God. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision. Do you see it? For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That's the equivalent of what Job was brought by all of that he experienced. This is the equivalent of what Job says. Job said, I've heard of you. I've heard of you with the hearing of my ear. I've heard, and I believed it. I believed it. But now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I repent in dust and ashes. Now hear me this morning. Is that the kind of faith that exists in you? I must ask myself that same question. I'm not preaching down to you. Is that the kind of faith that exists in me? Is that the kind of faith that exists in me? Is that the kind of faith that exists in you? If so, then every circumstance you undergo will drive you once again to bow before God in the circumstance, and it will turn you against yourself. You will take sides with God against yourself. You see, human religious faith bucks and kicks at this. Saving faith bows down. Do you hear what I say? Human religious faith, denominational faith, this worked up mamby-pamby faith of religion today, of this free will, man-centered gospel, that, yes, that faith, it bucks and kicks at this truth. But saving faith bows down and is bowed down to this truth in conscientious, loving union with Christ. He's my Lord. And he said this, concerning his lordship, concerning his absolute sovereignty, I have the right to do with my own what I will. And we know, according to what Paul said, Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And one way in which we see that's true is look at the case of Job. And all that Job went through, what was the glory? It brought him once again and anew, not just by the hearing of his ear, not just by the hearing of his ear, but to experience it, to actually taste of it. He says, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees thee. Why? Now what's the result of that? Wherefore I hate myself and I repent in dust and ashes. So again, I say, human religious faith, it'll buck and it'll kick at this. It'll reject. It'll cry out in anger that God's mean. God's mean. God's not just. But saving faith bows down. God willing, next month, my brother Joe Galusik will be on the radio, and I would encourage you next month to tune in again every Sunday morning and to hear him preach the gospel.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.